Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3, this is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bust them, and everybody else in between. Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're bringing it. All right, we still got a lot of stuff to get to. I'm just seeing the highlights of the Buffalo Sabres and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think the Buffalo Sabres won this game tonight 5-1 because they look so badass, actually, in their uniforms. See, that's the Sabre jersey right there. That's a nice-looking jersey. That's a nice-looking jersey. I'm telling you, there's a correlation to this stuff. Like, you notice the Vancouver Canucks rolled out their cool-looking old-school jerseys. They win. They look good. Buffalo, you've always got these weird different logos and this and that and stuff. Nice and classic. The classic Buffalo Sabre look is a nice look. So, yeah, Jason B. Takovic will join us in a couple of minutes. We got Chris Montero a little bit later on. UFC 272 this week, and I'll give them credit. They're starting to push it pretty hard right now. I'm seeing it every 30 seconds on my TVs in front of me. I just saw Errol Hoani doing an interview with Jay Onwright promoting the card. Jorge Masvidal. Well, Errol wasn't promoting the card, talking about the card. Jorge Masvidal versus Colby Covington. I find it to be annoying, to be honest. It's one of these, like, you know, all right, you guys don't like each other. You were buddies and blah, blah. And then, well, you're going to be buddies again after the fight. We all know this crap, how this works. And, yeah, I don't know, Matthias, are you excited for the fight? Like, from a fight, you know, it's, I can't lie to you and tell you, yeah, I'm gonna watch it, and it might, you know, it could be cool and stuff. I'm not like, oh, I'm not watching or stuff like that, but I'm staying like, I don't like Colby Covington, right? I find him to be annoying, and Masvidal I do like, but I get the feel it's just, you know, they're just fighting for money, bro, and like, you know, they like each other, they hate each other, they love each other. I've seen this script too many times in the fight game, bro. So, but from a fight standpoint, whatever, it's all right. But I'm not like, oh man, I can't wait for it. You know what I mean?
I'm actually really excited for this fight, Gabe. And like you said, I don't like Colby Covington, so I'm always interested to see him get his ass completely handed to him. And I don't know if that's going to happen on Saturday because of his takedown ability and whatnot. But these guys generally don't like each other. I know that that George has beef with this guy because, and this has been stated for a long time, he owed his coach money and he never paid him and he ran out. And George is one of those guys where he stays true to his character, and, you know, that's really ghetto to George. And George got pissed and he's been ghetto about it the whole time.
I think you buy into these countdown things too much.
No, this is before countdown, Gabe.
Yeah, whatever, bro. What about their 99 million pictures together? So you think that one thing, like, yeah, I get it.
Well, Colby's always been the type of guy, man, that just talks trash behind your back. He's not the right character, and that's why he got kicked out of the gym. You know that this stuff is real when Dan Lambert kicks him out of his own gym, and Dustin Poirier is literally going to try to fight that guy anywhere, anytime, any place because of all the bad things that he said about him. Colby has a big mouth, and it's taken him way too far, just like Conor McGregor. You know, Khabib genuinely hates Conor McGregor.
Yeah, but I don't like spot. I don't like, it's not the same. Dude, Khabib and Conor is not the same as Masvidal. And man, you're giving me this some sort of way. You trying to sell me a pay-per-view here? come on, man. Colby Covington's an act, Matthias. It's an act. He's nothing like what he pretends he is on TV. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. It's still real to me, man. It's still real to me. I was talking with the UFC with Matthias here. Matthias getting all fired up, telling me about their personal rivalry. I'm like, I don't care, bro. Whatever. He's
He's a dirtbag.
He is a dirtbag. No one likes Colby Covington.
Country. Yeah, because
nobody likes him.
Massive dirtbag. That's why we're doing boomeranged him in the face.
Why do you think he got where he did? You get rewarded for being a D-bag in that stuff.
Of course, he needed to do that to play this character, but some of those guys aren't going to play with his character.
Yeah, but you know what? And I don't like Colby Covington, but one thing is, he does back it up. He is tough as hell. He's frustrating, man.
Hell of a fighter, Gabe. Hell of a wrestler.
He stalks you, right? He stalks you. His stand-up is good, too. So he stalks you just with the repetitive, just jab, 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 and it's annoying. That's actually more annoying than the swing for the fences. Now, no one's scared of his striking in that sense, but you mix that with his wrestling and his relentlessness and stuff. I'll give him credit for that. And you know what? Like, listen, I used to despise the dude. Like I said, I was just talking about how I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? I don't really care about these like sort of personal feud type fights. Yeah, I like a fight that means something. I like a fight that, it's for the championship. This is for, the winner gets the, you know what I mean? You know, all this other badass MF-er and blah, blah, blah. And,
Gabe, this fight reminds me a lot of Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw. You know, two guys that, just dirty laundry.
Yeah, whatever. And go fight in a backyard somewhere. You know what I mean? And then, all right. So do you really think that after the fight they won't shake hands and hug each other and say, this guy's really always man. I love each other. I love this guy.
After the fight. The security guards won't even let them get together. They won't. It's bad.
I'll bet you money right now. You think security? Dude, this ain't going to be Khabib jumping off the top of the cage, bro, at someone. Those guys want to shoot each other. I promise you, Matilda. We'll talk about this. We'll get to this card more later in the week. But I'm telling you right now, mark my words. We'll save it. I'll go on. We'll save the tape when there's not music behind me, in which I will tell you they will embrace after. And you know what? This guy's as tough as they come, man. It was an honor to fight him. This is Sports Rage. Speaking of fights, we talk baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting in
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We're breaking it down. Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks, the Mightier 1090 in SoCal, ESPN Radio. Let's do this thing. Let's talk baseball, or at least the lack of baseball. Let's bring in a man who holds the game dear to his heart and was also involved for a long time in minor league baseball. Former general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens, part of the Toronto Blue Jay organization, as well as the Oakland Athletics. Jason B. Takkinen racked up some championships as well. Jason B. Takkinen returns to the Rage. What's going on, Jason? How you doing? I wish we were talking under different circumstances, but it is what it is. How you doing, my man?
Gabe, we wait all winter. It's a long, cold winter. We want to talk baseball. Sun's coming out. Days are getting longer. And we get the mess that was yesterday.
Well, I got to tell you, I can't say that I'm surprised that we're here right now. The question is, how long are we going to be here for? And I think it's a pretty relevant quote, actually. It could be fitting, not just for the Major League Baseball lockout, but for life itself. They need to stop treating us like we're idiots, is the quote from a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
And we've heard various reports that Major League Baseball and the owners and their lawyers literally and figuratively have added language in the middle of the night and tried to sneak it past them, like basically stating that we'll negotiate for hours, agree to something, then they'll hand us like a stack of papers to sign,
And there's all kinds of fine print and stuff in it that they never brought up before, thinking that we're stupid and we're just going to believe, you know, everything that they tell us, and we're going to sign everything that they give us. And, you know, clearly it's backfired on the owners.
Gabe, we started talking, you and I, right before the shortened season started in 2020. And the language that they were using even then, almost 2 years ago, was very similar to language that was being used with the NHL in 2003, 2004. There's no trust. There's a lot of animosity. They hate each other. They would rather see the other side lose than their side win. And that's where we're at, because when you look at it on paper, it's not that far off, competitive balance tax, to raise a little bit, younger players getting paid a little bit more. I think that's very realistic what the players are asking for. The owners don't want to give in. And if you just looked at it on a spreadsheet where they are, they're not that far. But because of the animosity, because of distrust, and because of where everybody is on the chessboard, that's why we're not playing baseball. And it's sad, because this is one of the best times of year for a baseball fan. Hope springs eternal. There's 30 games on TV all the time. There's split squads, there's prospects, there's all kinds of great stuff going on. The days are getting longer. Baseball season's in the air. The Masters is around the corner. April, this and that. And here we are. And it's really sad.
It seems like it would be somewhat of a simple, nothing simple, but a sort of, all right, listen, we're at $550 now for the minimum salary. We wanted to get to $775. That you can just sort of sit there and hammer things out. But if there was a baseball game, and let's just say they have 9 issues they need to deal with, Jason, you know that they have more than 9, but let's say they have 9 issues to deal with. They can't really get out of the first and second inning,
Gabe,
here, right? Like you said, they're not really far off, it seems, on an issue here and on an issue there, but you add it all up into all the issues, and the lack of trust, I should say, not on both sides, the lack of trust
in general,
just in, you know, that the players have, that the owners are operating in good faith. I think if you're a fan, you can kind of see that the commissioner and the owners are not operating in good faith. They are, you know, look at what they say. This is our best offer. Take it or leave it. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Very unusual press conference. Just didn't capture the hate and didn't capture the emotion that fans had. Just to answer your question, if we're going 9 innings, where we're at is game 3, 1987, Flyers Habs. They're fighting 40 minutes before the game has
even
started.
That's a good point.
There's a brawl.
That was actually entertaining, watching them fight. That was actually cool.
Unless
you stated, how tone deaf is Manfred, bro? Like, all right, listen, we know he's not a baseball guy, number one. Yet, we clearly know he's not a PR guy either. Like, the guy's practicing his golf swing, like, in, you know what I mean? Like, in the hallway, like, laughing about this stuff. Like, it's a big joke when, you know, maybe it's a joke to him and maybe it's a joke to the owners and stuff, but everyday people do get squeezed by this stuff. People that work, you know, in the stadiums, people that work around the stadiums. Like, so many people are lives are directly and indirectly affected because of this stuff. And for Manfred not to just sort of, you know, put a somber look on his face, at least fake it in front of the camera for a couple of minutes, bro.
Yeah. And you know what? They say that the commissioner represents the owners. And it's really a shame, because you would feel that some owners would be mad, and some owners kind of know their place in society. And for better or worse, baseball is all about emotion and passion and history and the warmth and fuzziness. It's not the NFL. It's not the NBA. People look to it for integrity. And that's why fans have been let down the last 20 years, the steroid era, the pace of the game, the fact that baseball attendance has gone down almost 10 million by 10 million fans in 12 years. Gabe, the average attendance in 2007 was 32,696 fans. A record of 79.4 million fans going to baseball games. 2019, 28.2. A decrease of 10 million fans. That's staggering. And I don't want to hear about how everything you can watch on your phone. I don't want to hear about social media. I don't want to hear about options. That's terrifying. And the fact that that's not dealt with, and the fact that that's not an issue, is to get people back at the ballpark. I don't care how big the cable deals are. Baseball is about playing catch with your parents, being out in the grass, having a hot dog, Cracker Jacks, popcorn, beer, all that fun stuff. And fans aren't going to the games, and that is a massive, massive issue.
And, you know, that's why I wanted to get your thoughts from a former general manager, to somebody who was in the minor leagues and it has lived baseball, what it means, as you stated, because their war on the minor leagues is a completely other issue as well. Like, I actually do. You can actually believe the players when they say, listen, like, you know, you saw Mike Trout say, I want to play baseball, but I don't have a choice but to do this for future generations. and of baseball players. And I actually buy into it, you know, because look, man, you know, salaries have decreased 4 years. You know, this would be 4 years in a row, 3 years in a row, the 4%. The franchise values have gone up. I don't know if you saw the tweet from Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Of all people to put it in such a blunt term. He basically said Major League Baseball owners are combined worth is over $100 billion. And he said since they have bought their teams, the values have gone up $41 billion. But I get it. You know what I mean? As you say, there's something. Baseball's supposed to be different and all that, but I think you can, you know, they've killed off the romance, haven't they? Let's be real about that, in which the hot dogs, American pastime and apple pie, minor leagues and all that. This is a straight out cold ass corporation, bro, that wants to trim as much fat and loose ends as they possibly can. That's how they're being run. They're being run like a massive television network is, actually. Just, you know what I mean? Sort of, all right, listen, we made record profit this past year, but we can make more if we chop 3,000 jobs. And then it just sort of continues every year till the heart and soul is completely gone.
And the way the game has played, like, there's so many different levels to how, as a baseball fan, we're all concerned, but the style of game, how long it is, how the ball's not in play, there's no running, there's no first to third, there's no speed.
Oh, we're not, bang on, not, never mind the analytics of the game and launch angles and the destruction of this, and you can't have a play at the plate anymore. We'd rather just hit a home run.
The game is just played, like, there's so many different layers to this, is that the game is played so differently than the way that people fell in love with it and the way that people liked it. Pitchers going three innings, or starters rather, like the onslaught of arms coming out of the bullpen where everyone just throws gas and more gas and more gas. But I want to touch upon what you said about Miami baseball. The acquisition, so to speak, of Major League Baseball taking over Miami Baseball is very interesting, because for 15 straight years, Miami Baseball drew over 40 million fans. I'm going to repeat that. For 15...
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Straight years, Miami Baseball drew over 40 million fans. That's a ton. In fact, from 2018 to 19, it was the biggest year-over-year increase since 2006-2007. So what that means is Capital B Baseball is doing very well, thank you very much. It's Major League Baseball that's kind of lowering the ceiling as to the fandom, and people are going elsewhere for their live baseball. Fans still love going to the ballpark. They love the green grass.
And now they're sort of taking that away from them. No, listen, we're up against it here. More on the other side with Jason B. Tack, a fan. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Wicked Wednesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, and I'm right here at 1090 ESPN Radio on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, the 50,000-watt juggernaut, SoCal style, the loudest station in the nation. Jason B. Takovic, kick with us. So, Jason, you were just telling us about the major leagues taking over the minor league system and how attendance, they drew over 40 million people in minor league baseball. You know, listen, minor league baseball drives baseball. Minor league baseball is baseball. There's more minor league baseball in America than there is pro baseball. So, and from, you know, we've talked about a lot. It costs them like $2.5 million a year to run their minor league operations, and they want to cut this. There's so many different things we could talk about, Jason. But remember even last year you and I were talking, before all this stuff started, even 2 years ago, there were stories of minor league players having to quit because they're tired of sleeping in their cars. They're tired of, like, not eating all the time. They're tired of making $2,200 a month and stuff like that. And the Major League Baseball owners, it seems to me, it's all like the music business, bro. It's like when I lived in Hollywood in the late 80s. They were like, yeah, you want to play on the Sunset Strip? You got to pay us.
Yeah.
And it would basically be like, listen, if you're good enough, then you should be able to pay us to pay for the, you know, buy your own tickets. And then if you're really good, you're going to be a big star because of the platform we're putting you on. That's almost the way that baseball owners are thinking about the minor leagues now.
Well, it is. I mean, I think in the long run, this realignment of minor baseball is going to be very good because the Major Baseball team is going to be taking over the minor league system. They're going to be really involved with the fields, and they may not say it, but they're going to be involved with the fields. They're going to make stadiums have to upgrade. Some teams and some counties are putting in $60 to $80 million to really do not so much in the revenue generating stuff, but a lot of the infrastructure stuff to make sure that there's indoor cages, there's the showers are very good, there's heating, there's proper heating, there's workout rooms, there's gyms, there's yoga rooms, there's nutritionists, there's real kitchens for chefs. I actually think the long run that's going to be very good. It's an ugly transition. It was always going to be an ugly bridge to get there because they had to cut teams. They didn't have games in 2020. It wasn't very good, but in effect, to use a business term, Major League Baseball acquired minor league baseball because they're acquiring an organization that draws almost half of the attendance that Major League Baseball does. They are literally buying fans. They are literally buying fans that pay and go to baseball games, that spend their time and money in a baseball stadium. It's not a bad move. Ultimately, what's going to happen is there's going to be less. They literally cut the amount of minor league teams. They also cut the amount of rounds there are in drafts. So there's going to be less Mike Piazza's in the 62nd round, Mark Burley, I think the 32nd, you know, Kevin Pillar. Those guys kind of slide through the cracks. So the romance of that is gone. It's going to be better facilities, better equipment, better infrastructure, better players playing in the minors, and the quality will be better. And those players are going to spend less time in the minors because there's less levels, and then those guys are going to get paid earlier. And that's the big part of this also is the players don't want to spend seven levels in the minors. A lot of them don't need to spend seven levels in the minors, but This is gonna end up helping those players indirectly, albeit they are taking baseball out of some communities. In the long run, this is going to be a much better thing for baseball.
Now, you know, and the thing that gets me about this lockout, and we've heard this before, we saw it in 94, we've heard about all the steroids, and now it's gonna kill the game. It's gonna kill the game. Nothing can really kill the game. But fans do die off. Right. And I think like the only people that are really sort of passionate about this, you talked about the, you know, the so-called romance of baseball, et cetera. I brought this up the other night, Jason. I think unless you really grew up with the game and stuff, you don't have that romance. Then to you, it's just sort of like watching a cricket match. And you're like, well, whatever, man. I watch the NBA anyways. I don't care. These guys aren't playing. I think it's boring, or I don't. You know what I mean? You have to sort of have it in your blood to really to feel that. And to go back to Rob Manfred, it's hard to believe I'm going to say this. I couldn't even bring myself to tweet it, actually, to say that I miss Bud Selig. That, you know what I mean? Because Bud Selig, you know, I mean, this guy was clueless. But Bud actually did like baseball. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, Bud liked sitting in the stadium. Bud liked having a beer. Bud liked, you know, was he perfect? No. Was he trying to squeeze the players? Yes. But at the same point in time, he liked owning a baseball team.
Yeah.
You listen to the owners now in Manfred. Oh, we'd be better off investing in the stock market. Oh, last year, we're just a summer little business. Like, we're selling, you know, he's acting like he's selling ice cream in Cape Cod. Yeah. Like, they're just sort of disdain for everything. Like, and you said something earlier, too. Commissioners, and I get it, man. At what point, I don't know who the first one was, at what point did it go? Because the commissioner was supposed to be the go-between between players and the owners. Right, it used to be like no. For the good of the game, you guys, I understand you're rich, but this is why you hired me, so somebody can tell you guys no, right? And someone, I'll keep the players in order, but you guys aren't doing this. Yeah. At what point did we get that Rob Manfred might as well just be carrying the Gatorade and the coffee in for the owners right now, bro? The guy's like, come on, what is he even like? He's just a spokesman for them.
They did have someone like that. His name was Faye Vincent. And Faye Vincent
started, they didn't like it, right?
And they fired him because he was a little bit too pro-player. He was the original Adam Silver in the sense that he understood that the players were the game. And they fired him. And actually, that's how Bud Selig became interim commissioner for close to 20 years.
Because he was one of the owners. Bud Selig was an owner. He was one of them.
Never make that mistake again. And that's why David Stern, Gary Bettman, they are very clear about whom they report to. And that's the owners.
But you notice, and say what you will about Bettman, but Bettman... Bettman, his answer, his word is the last word. Like, it's like, no. I'm in charge of this league, and this is what we're doing. You know, Roger Goodell, it's my league, right? You guys own your team, but I remember, I'm the sheriff of this league. I'm the president. I'm the cop of this thing. Remember that. like I said, Manfred, I mean, come on, bro. I mean, and Locke, you know, I don't want to disrespect anybody, but how can anybody respect this man in a baseball negotiation?
Well, it's very difficult to build trust with someone who is very aloof, and it's very hard to build trust with someone when we've been hearing about this for a few years, and Manfred was hired to kind of trim the fat, and he was hired to get rid of a lot of redundancy, so to speak. And they started with minor league baseball, and they're going to go with player salaries, and then eventually, they want to do what NFL did, which is instead of having players make more money, they're going to give the younger players a little bit more money. So then they're going to vote against their union because they want to get paid earlier.
And that's a great point of putting it, right? So they're trying to, turn the
exact same thing the NFL. Yeah. So when you hear when the NFL was before they went into a lockout, J.J. Watt, Russell Wilson, they're all like, don't vote on this. But then they gave the
younger players. I told people this on the show. I said, dude, how many rich guys are there in baseball? 25, 30? You know what I mean? Like, look, honestly, like people say, oh, the Max Scherzers. Dude, there's not a lot of these guys that are making 30 and 40. There's a handful of these guys. And I didn't even realize we were talking earlier in the week with someone from The Athletic. Dude, like 66% of the league makes like less than $1 million in Major League Baseball.
They want to turn it into the NFL. And I'll tell you, the Max Scherzers aren't who you are supposed to be focusing on. It's the middle class, because those guys get squeezed, because that's where an owner is able to say, okay, look, we have a 25-year sample size since the last collective bargaining agreement where we can talk about luxury tax. Does a big free agent signing, A, make us money in jersey sales and tickets and all that fun stuff in the offseason? No. Two.
Well, those guys vote, though, to, you know what I mean? Like, because there's more of them. Because you just said, listen, if you're a guy, you're a relief pitcher in the big leagues, bro. You're making $1.8 million this year on the Mariners or the Braves or something. Yeah. Owners don't mind that. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You've got a family. You're like, dude, I can't. I'm trying to put food on the table here. And you guys are arguing about thresholds that for players that are going to be here 10, 15 years down the road. Yet I give credit to them for putting their foot down and saying, no, we're not accepting this. But as you stated, the owners think that the players' union will break. I guess, is that what they think? But they're not going to. They're nowhere close to breaking.
At this juncture, because, like you said, so many players don't make that much money, they can't lose that much time. There's also that not that many realistic alternatives. The person I always cite when we talk about the middle class is Ryan Dempster. He has a career record of one game under 500. He made $90 million in 15 seasons. That's a lot of money. Those guys aren't there anymore. Marcus Stroman, who's much better than him, he only just got I think a 2-year deal with a player option. Like, he's not the middle class is being destroyed, and that's really who was making who free agency really helped, is they have bidding on an average player so that they can get paid above average, because you have 30-31 teams bidding on them. Here,
yeah, but people don't go to the park to watch average players, right? Like, I just sort of, you know what I'm saying?
Fill it out. And that's
I know.
Right?
Man, this thing's a mess, bro. Like, so listen, time's flying by, and it's great to catch up with you again, Jason. We got about a minute and a half left here. How long do you think this plays out for? I said I don't think the first pitch is happening until Memorial Day or June 1st. And I remember you and I talked a while ago about, you brought up owners care about Memorial Day weekend and stuff, but at this point, I don't know what the hell they care about anymore.
It's a good bet. I was confident when I read the initial negotiation. I was pretty confident they weren't going to miss that many games, maybe a week. But now there's just so much blood in the water. I'm going to say maybe a little bit after Memorial Day weekend. I just don't see a knight coming in on a silver knight on a horse coming in and saving the day. I think there's just so much animosity, and they're just so far apart emotionally. I just don't see it happening. And I don't really think that either side cares that much anymore about watching the other side or the game.
I saw one quote today, Jason. I know I don't want to over dramatize things, but I saw one player say, if they think that we're not willing to miss the season, they're wrong. And I threw that out there before. This thing can escalate fast, man, right? Where, guys, they blew this thing up in 94. We've seen it before, man.
Yeah, I would be, if they missed an entire season and the players were on board with that, then firstly, what's to say they're not going to miss another season? And secondly, is there's no reason for them to miss a season. It's just the players, what they're asking for is realistic, and they're still allowing the owners to make more money than they are.
There's still time to do it. I mean, it sucks. Time's already passed. There's still time to do it, but I brought this up last night. You know, we can talk about, there's so many of the fundamentals of baseball and the sport and all this, whatever.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're not playing. You're just helping the NBA and the NHL as well. They're like, oh, thanks, guys. We'll take over. Like, yeah, we'll be the only games on right now if you want. Right? We'll it's just, summer. Yeah, like they just don't. Either they don't know or they don't care. Jason B. Takifin. Where can people find you, Jason?
At Jason B. Takifin on Twitter. Gabe, thank you so much for having me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency, kicking it SiriusXM channel 159 on Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. The countdown to madness is on, although the insanity and the craziness has already begun. Conference tournaments have already begun. Let's bring in College BB News, Chris Montaire, to break it all down. Let's talk some Big Ten basketball with Chris. Chris, always a pleasure. Good catching up with you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. How you doing tonight?
Not bad, not bad. Great to talk to you. Best month of the year. It's my birthday coming up here in a few weeks. And, of course, we have March Madness as well.
And well, what better way to celebrate your birthday than with buckets of hoops and buckets of beer, Chris. So let's speak of beer. Nobody loves beer like they do in Madison, Wisconsin. I'll give them that. I'm a Michigan fan, but I'll tip my cap to them. And in fact, everybody talks about Arizona State being the best party school in America. That's not true anymore. Like Wisconsin and Iowa have taken over as far as party you and the kingpins of the party. And listen, they have justification to party. They rattled Michigan's cage. Juwan Howard starts slapping people, gets suspended for the rest of the season, and then the following week they actually cut down the nets and they win a Big Ten regular season championship. Hell of a season for the Badgers, and a Badger team that people kind of criticized throughout the entire season, and oh yeah, they win the Big Ten.
Yeah, you have to give Greg Gard a lot of credit because I don't think the expectations were super high coming into the season for the Badgers. A lot of new players. They had a lot of troubles. You might recall last year, at the end of the season, a lot of the seniors were kind of complaining about the way they were treated by Greg Gard. Some people wondered if Greg Gard would be able to survive the storm, but they've done a great job winning the Big Ten Conference. Got a chance to see them play last week here in Minnesota, where I'm based out of. The fans in Minnesota aren't super excited about Wisconsin or Iowa. You mentioned those two schools. Those are the big rival schools. And another thing people don't like about Wisconsin is that four of their better players are all Minnesota natives. So players that Minnesota's previous coach, Richard Pitino, couldn't get to play in-state now are shining for the other Big Ten schools. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, Johnny Davis, I vote for the Wooden Award. I helped pick out the players for the Wooden Award. He's going to be very high on my ballot. Definitely one of the top two or three for sure. Having an outstanding season. But other players, Steve Kroll, Tyler Wall, Brad Davidson, who seemingly has been there about 100 years, those players have really stepped up their play. And I think Gard has done a very good job with a team that maybe isn't maybe the most talented, the most athletic, but got them to buy into their system.
for all the hype about the Big Ten, and it's a great basketball conference, when you look at the future odds right now at FanDuel, Gonzaga are the favorites, so West Coast Conference. Arizona's the second choice, Pac-12. Kentucky's the third choice, SEC. Baylor's the fourth choice, Big 12. Duke is the fifth choice, ACC. Auburn is the sixth choice, SEC. Kansas is the seventh choice, Big 12. Purdue are actually the team from the Big Ten that have the lowest odds to win the national championship. And when looking, you've seen these teams play all year long, Chris. When looking at the Big Ten, who do you think has the best chance of winning a national championship? And we'll get to a couple of others, but we'll start off with Purdue here. Do you agree with this, that Purdue would be, like, if you were, you're sending one team, you're picking a rep, all right, we're sending this team to the tournament. Are you sending Purdue to win for you if you're, they're repping the Big Ten?
Well, they're a team that's been a little bit inconsistent lately, losing two tough finishes recently to Michigan State, Wisconsin. I saw them play early last month, February 2nd, against Minnesota, and they looked as good as anybody. They didn't miss any shots. They got great size with Edie, who's 7'4", Williams, 6'10", got good outside perimeter players. Ivy having an outstanding season, one of the finalists on the wooden list of the top 15. So they got good balance. Matt Painter's been there forever, done a great job with that program. But, again, kind of limping into the end of the season with two losses in a row. But I still think they're maybe the best team, at least positioned, to make a strong run in the NCAA tournament. I just think their size, not many teams can match up with their size, but they can also play on the perimeter. They have good depth. Even, you know, look at Edie and Williams. They only play about 20 minutes a game. So I think they'll be a little fresher maybe than other teams that have to rely on their stars to play 30, 35, maybe even 40 minutes a game. So I think that could help them. But again, the way they played the last couple of weeks makes you a little nervous. Also, I think when people look at the Big Ten last year, I think we talked about it at the same time, that maybe this was the best Big Ten ever. And, of course, they kind of petered out and didn't do a ton in the NCAA tournament. So I think people are kind of looking at, you know, do we really want to believe in the Big Ten? And you have to go back a while, you know, for a Big Ten team that's won the national title. So I understand why fans are questioning the conference a little bit. But, again, I think it's a strong conference. Probably eight teams get in. But the question is Purdue a two or a three seed? And same with Wisconsin. So you're not going to see a lot of teams on that top double line. You'll see a lot of teams, I think, when you look at, like, Illinois, Iowa, Ohio State are all kind of in the bottom of the top 25. Those are probably going to be 4 and 5 seeds. So are there going to be enough teams that are going to get good enough seeds where they can make a strong run in the NCAA tournament?
Chris Montaire with us, College BB News in the house with us. So, Chris, the next choice is Illinois at 40-1 as far as Big Ten teams in the tournament. And I think there's a little bit of value here from a betting perspective because I do think this team can compete with anybody on any given night. Man, when this Plummer kid is hot, bro, he really adds another element and a dynamic to this team. Trust me, as a Michigan fan, I can tell you all about this kid. We know what they can do inside. They've had injury problems throughout the season. I think they're every bit as dangerous as Purdue going into this tournament. Like, from an odds perspective, like, you know, when you look at Purdue at 16-1 and then Illinois at 40-1, what's your opinion on the Illinois team, and do you think they can do some damage in the tournament?
Yeah, I definitely think they can. This is a team, you have to remember, Cookburn missed some early season games because of some issues with the NCAA with getting some money early on. So I think they've been a team that maybe has been a little bit under the radar. They got great perimeter play when you look at Frazier, Plummer, you mentioned him. But the strong inside play of Cookburn, not many people can match up with him. He's a brute, 7-footer inside, very strong physical player. So you're right, I think they can do a very good job in the tournament. They play extremely well right now, 20-8, 13-5, second place in the Big Ten. And again, you know, the tournament, you know, styles change a little bit. Teams become a little bit more a half-court team, which I think favors a team like Illinois because they got such strong inside play. And like you said, if you double him, if you can kick it out to some of the shooters like Plummer and Frazier, they'll definitely make you pay.
Chris Montaire kicking it with us. So, Chris, let's talk about my Michigan Wolverines, who I actually think could be not like Final Four dangerous, but we've seen Michigan go on runs when they're not supposed to. they can play well. You know, you see when they play to their capability, but there's an inconsistency factor there. But with all that being stated, they haven't punched their ticket yet. Now, I find it hard to believe that they won't get in when it's all said and done. But listen, man, they got Iowa and they have Ohio State. That Ohio State game obviously going to be very tough to win on the road on Sunday. So, you know, the Iowa game kind of becomes a must-win game. I think, you know, what's your take on this Michigan team? And do you think they're going to make the tournament? I mean, they clearly are on the bubble. There's that sort of invisible cut line of four games over 500. I think they'll get in, and maybe they're in the first four, or whatever. But what's your take on this Michigan Wolverine team? They're kind of a perplexing team, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at, you know, they beat Purdue. We talked about how good Purdue is. They beat them by 24. Iowa on the road, so Iowa's going to have some revenge factor there. But you're right. This is a team that's wildly inconsistent, and that's the big question mark. I think they and Rutgers still get in, and both teams, I think, are 16-12 overall, but again, have they're two games above 500 in the conference, so I think they get in.
Yeah.
I think Michigan, the fact that they play such a tough non-conference schedule helps them, and obviously getting the big win over their in-state rival, Michigan State, I think is a big one. Obviously, you want to, you know, finish the season strong, win a couple games, and at least maybe win a game in the Big Ten. But I think
pad your stats in the tournament, exactly,
right,
in the Big Ten tournament.
The fact they've won 16 games, you know, you get the 19-20, I think they're in for sure. You know, if they struggle a little bit, maybe, you know, don't do so well the last couple games and lose in the first round, maybe you're a little bit more of a question mark. But I think if they can play well down the run, down the stretch, I think they get in. And again, you're right. This is a team you could see, you know, losing the first round, to be honest. You could see this team as maybe a Sweet 16 or maybe Elite 8 team because they're just so inconsistent. But they have some great, you know, size, obviously, with Dickinson inside. You know, the guard play is the biggest question mark. They need consistency. And that's really what shows up in the NCAA tournament. You need consistent guard play if you're going to make a strong run.
Well, one thing we know about Iowa, they could put points up on the board. So what about the Iowa Hawkeyes here? They're 90-1 right now. I'm a big fan of Keegan Murray. A lot of fun to watch this kid play basketball, but they don't really stop anybody. What's your take on the Iowa Hawkeyes as a whole right now moving forward?
Well, to be honest, that's a knock on Iowa, really, the last couple of years. That was the thing we saw last year in the NCAA tournament when they got bumped out, you know, not playing great defense, and they got smoked in their game, and that's the problem they've had this year. They try and outscore. You know, obviously, they've had great scores the last couple of years. Garza was the National Player of the Year. And Murray, like I said, I think the Big Ten, in terms of individual talent, you look at players like Murray and Johnny Davis and Cookburn, you know, Indiana with Jackson Davis. You got a lot of players, Liddell for Ohio State. You got seven players that I voted for my final 15 on the Wooden list. So a lot of great individual talent. And then again, I think guard play is going to be the big question mark for Iowa. You know, can Bo Hannon really step up his play? Can some of the other players take some of that pressure off Murray? His brother's also done a good job, I think, recently, especially having some good games coming off the bench. But again, I think guard play will be crucial for them. But they're another team that can be really good at times, but then also can be a little bit disappointing at times as well. And again, they're not a great defensive team, like you said, so their offense really has to be at a high point every game.
Chris, we've got about 2 minutes, so let me ask you as far as the big picture is concerned, and I'm not going to ask you who do you think wins the national championship and who is your sleeper right now. I mean, hell, we haven't gotten into the big-time conferences yet, right, tournaments yet. So, you know, we don't know the brackets. But who are a team or two that you've got your eye on that you've been a fan of going into this tournament? Let me just throw, like, you know, like Coach K. Does Coach K have, like, a magical last run in him? Because, like I said last week, who's going to be the referee to pinch this guy and give him, you know, he's going to be getting every call. I think they're going to get a favorable path to the bracket, but what do you think about the big picture? Gonzaga favored, they're the team to beat again. I don't know if that happens, but that's what the odds makers are saying. What do you think about this? And we got about 2 minutes here. Who are you looking at here in the big picture?
Yeah, this is such a crazy year. You look even like this past Saturday, obviously you saw all the number one top teams all losing on the same day. They were all on the road, and they were all against conference teams, so those teams are going to get fired up to beat those teams. But it just shows you this is just a wide-open competition. You're right. I think Gonzaga, if I had to pick, I'd probably pick them. But Duke, you know, they won seven straight since losing that heartbreaker to Virginia on a last-second shot, so they're playing extremely well. But again, a lot of teams struggling up and down. I think Baylor's a team. They've had some injury issues, but they defend. done so well. We saw that last year in the tournament. Gonzaga was kind of the thought to be the favorite, but, you know, the Baylor Bears took it right to them. And I think the Baylor Bears, you know, have a chance to make a strong run. They beat Kansas. So that was a big win for them. I think they could wind up, you know, continuing to improve and probably be a number one seed. And people forget the year we didn't have the tournament, I thought they had as strong a chance as anybody to win a title. So they could, you know, be in a position where conceivably they could have won two titles in 2 years. Auburn and also UK out of the SEC. We talk about the SEC, obviously, a ton for football. But I think for basketball, that conference has gotten better. They spent a lot of money that they make from football on hiring some really big-time coaches. Obviously, you look at, you know, Bruce Pearl, Calipari. You look at Barnes at Tennessee. You know, a lot of very good coaches in that conference. So I think those could be dangerous teams. Kansas had a disappointing loss to Baylor, losing by 10. But I still think they're a team. Again, the knock the last couple of years I've had on the Jayhawk is point guard play. If they can get consistent play, I think they thought Remy Martin would be the answer. The Arizona State transfer averaged almost 20 a game there. Hasn't been the answer, but they got great inside play. If they can get consistent guard play, they could be a real factor as well.
Great stuff. Excellent breakdown, as always, Chris. We'll definitely do this again now that the tournament is approaching. Follow Chris on Twitter, College BB News on Twitter, and, of course, collegebasketballnews.com. Check him out. Follow him. Stay up to date. And he covers more than the Big Ten. He's got all kinds of great
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Basketball stuff. We can't wait to talk about the NBA draft as well. Always a pleasure, Chris. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks again. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks, Mean Gene. Chris, 180 minutes in Sports Talk Radio. Great stuff with Chris Montero. We're definitely going to get him back through the college basketball campaign here. NFL Draft Combine. NFL Draft Combine. And there'll be a lot of news coming out of Indianapolis, not just about the prospects, but about what's going to go on. Listen, man, contracts are due. Money is due. Like, the official season, I think it's March 16th. Look, technically, the NFL, like, book, like, you know what I mean? Like, the upcoming season. So you're going to hear a lot of contract stuff and, like, Aaron Rodgers this and all that. I see a story, too. Matt LaFleur says he doesn't want to annoy Aaron Rodgers and ask him what his decision is and stuff. Like, isn't that nice? Like, man, I've never seen a quarterback that's won one Super Bowl get treated with the kid gloves and kindness. Like Tom Brady, like, look what Tom Brady did for the New England Patriots, and they ran his ass out of town. Like, they're like, yeah, whatever, Tom. See you later. Now, they paid a price for it, and he won another Super Bowl, but they did it. Like the Packers, they're enablers. That's the whole thing. Once you enable someone, that's why I was talking about Kyler Murray. You give Kyler Murray all this money, you roll over the way he's acting right now, okay, but don't be surprised when he's squeezing you by the sack for the rest of his career as well. Man, I didn't even get to the CM Punk beatdown on TV tonight. I was surprised. I haven't seen that much blood in a wrestling television event in years. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to all of our listeners, viewers. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.